Today we're talking about a big testimony, sharing the things that God has done in your life with others. Now, when you think of big testimony, when you think of what God has done, what pops in your mind the first thing? Perhaps it's the time he rescued you when you were struggling. Perhaps it was the time that you gave your life over to Jesus Christ, if you have done that. But here's what I would say. When they ask you to give a testimony on the stand in a court of law, you just testify to what you've seen and heard. That's all they want, right? They just want to hear the details of what you've seen and heard. And that really is what God wants from us. He wants us to share our story, our testimony of what we've seen and heard him do in our lives. So we're going to look at that today. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and pull those out. We're going to be in 1 Timothy today. 1 Timothy, it's a book in the New Testament. It was written by a guy named Paul. And Paul wrote this book as a letter to his friend Timothy. Timothy was like his under-shepherd, like his young disciple that he was pouring into. Page 996 of the Burgundy Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 12. If you don't have a Bible, by the way, feel free to take one of those Burgundy Bibles home. They're in the seats in front of you or around you, and it's the New Living Translations. We just try to read from the same translation each week so you can follow along. If you have a different translation, that's fine. Bring that one too. It's great to put notes in and compare and learn from each other, okay? So in 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says this, starting in verse 12. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him, even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ in my insolence. I persecuted his people. But God has mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to speak to us this morning. Lord, I come before you this morning, and I thank you so much that you have done things in our life. Lord, there are people here that they are not yet Christians. But God, you have done things in their life even to draw them to you today, to have them here today, to hear this good news that you have for us. There are people here today, God, you've rescued out of drugs and alcohol addiction. There are people here you've rescued today from depression and discouragement and suicide. Lord, there are people that you've rescued today here from envy, greed, selfishness, bitterness, unforgiveness. And Lord, we thank you for being the rescuer. And I pray today, Lord, as I share, that Lord, you would recall in all of us the things you've done. And the stories would become fresh again. And that we would want to share those with others. I pray that in my Savior Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, if you got your program, go ahead and pull that out. We put that in there every week so you can follow along and keep up with what we're sharing. It's also on the app. If you got the River app, if you haven't downloaded that, you can download that. And the sermon outline's also on the app as well. So the goal is just so that when you leave here that you've got something to take with you, something that you can remember Monday through Saturday as you're talking at work and share that with others. And so the first thing on that listening guide says this. It says, realize that God has strengthened you and appointed you to do his work. God is the one that strengthens us. Paul says here, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work. Now, sometimes I have people say, Steve, I'd like to do something for God, but I just don't think I can. I'm afraid. I don't have the courage. You need to know you don't have to. God does. God is the one that wants to come alongside you and strengthen you and encourage you. He wants to be the one to say, listen, I am with you. I will give you the words to say. I'll give you the strength to say it. And God will walk with you through that journey. And then Paul says, and he appointed me. He appointed me to do this. And what I want to say to you today, that God's appointed you as well. You and I both have been appointed. Now, appointed means you have someone with authority that appoints someone else who carries their authority with them. A king appointing an ambassador. A boss appointing an employee to go and share a message, a contract. God has appointed us to be messengers of this good news. Now, everybody's good news is different, right? Nobody has the same story. When I talk to people about their testimony, oftentimes if somebody's grown up in church, I hear them say stuff like this: well, I don't have much of a testimony. You know, I grew up in church. I've never shot and killed anybody. I hadn't been to jail, hadn't even done drugs, haven't even smoked a cigarette. I just don't have much of a testimony. To which I say, man, that's the awesomest testimony ever. Isn't that the testimony every parent wants their kid to have? Right? Amen? Right? Listen, it took just as much of the blood of Jesus to rescue you as it did you, as it did you, as it did you, as it did anybody else. Christ had to go to the cross for the forgiveness of all of our sins. And so we have been blessed with that forgiveness, and we need to realize we've been appointed to tell other people that good news. We don't need to keep it to ourselves. We need to share it freely and joyfully. Now, when I first got saved, I'll have to tell you, I had this fire inside of me, because Christ really had transformed my life from death to life. I mean, I knew it. I knew that I knew that I knew that he had saved me. And I wanted everybody to know. So I'm going around telling my cousins, my friends, people at school, my parents. And I'll have to say, I probably was maybe a little overbearing in my passion. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but I just felt this burden for everybody to get saved. I was like, man, my mom and dad, if they don't accept Christ, they're going to die and be separated. And I won't get to spend eternity with them, because they'll go to hell and I'll go to heaven. And so I had this burden to share. And as I matured in my faith, I realized God is the one that saves, not me. Okay? Sometimes I talk to people about Jesus and they'll stop me and they'll go, are you trying to convert me? And I'll say, nope. I said, I don't try to convert anybody. That's not my job. My job is to be a messenger. I tell people what God has done in my life, and it's up to the Lord to draw them, to love them, and to help them find a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's his responsibility, not mine. When I discovered that, it took a lot of weight off my life. I realized I don't have to save anybody. I get the privilege of being his messenger and telling other people what he's done in my life and giving them that opportunity for hope. But that doesn't mean I'm off the hook. It doesn't mean I can just expect God to do everything and me not do anything. I've been appointed. You've been appointed. We've got to share this good news of what he's done. Well, that leads to the second thing. Share your failures and your needs as part of your testimony. I think one of the biggest disservices the church did over the last 50 years, church being big C, one of the biggest disservices we did was to try to tell people that we've got to look perfect. And that when you go to church, you got to look perfect. And if you had a bad week, you don't want to let anybody know. You got to put this little face on and you're all happy, smiley. And before I became a Christian, one of the hesitancies myself and others had in becoming a Christian was there's so many fakes in church. You'd go and people were living one way on Sunday and living another way the other 6 days of the week, because they couldn't keep the fake up for 7 days a week, right? Listen, you don't have to be a fake. We're all messed up. Just smile and enjoy it, right? I mean, the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Nobody's perfect. And there was a season in the church that if you were a preacher, you had to make people think that your life was perfect. Your marriage was perfect. Your kids were perfect. You were perfect. And that is so ridiculous. The scriptures, you look at these guys in the Bible, they've all got issues. They just know that they can turn to Jesus and he'll rescue them, deliver them from those issues. I am not a perfect man. And I've learned, thankfully, through the scriptures and through other mentors, not to try to pretend I'm somebody I'm not. And, you know, I had somebody come to me this week, and I freely shared my weaknesses and what I've struggled with and how God set me free. Had somebody come to me, it was either this week or maybe last week, and I was praying with them, and I just said to them, I said, well, how's your marriage been? And they're a minister in this community, and they said, well, actually, it's doing much better now. I said, now? I said, was there something there? He said, well, he said, honestly, my wife and I hit a pretty bad spell for a while. And I was struggling. And he said, I didn't know what to do. He said, and I've got a close friend that goes to your church. I don't even know who it is. And they said that you have shared from the pulpit that you and your wife have been to marriage counseling. He said, I thought that was like a stigma that I couldn't go to marriage counseling because I was a pastor. He said, but when I heard that, I decided we'd try it. And my wife and I went to marriage counseling. He said, it's made all the difference. He said, we're so much better now. I was like, I am so glad my messed up marriage could help you in yours. You know, it's like, what a gift, right? And my marriage isn't messed up, but I would say to you, we've been to the marriage counseling not once. We've been three different times in our 24 years of marriage. About every 7 years, I think I get messed up about every 7 years, and I have to go back and get a tune-up, you know? It's like, okay, this is what marriage is. That's right. Okay, I'll get it straight. Okay. And it's just part of our faith. I believe it's part of what we need to do is to recognize that we are in the flesh. He is in the spirit. He has the strength and the power. We can't do it on our own. We need his strength. He will equip us and appoint us. And when you're telling other people your story, you need to tell them that. Because what you don't want is people getting saved, thinking that once they get saved, everything's going to be perfect. That once they get saved, all the temptations are gone and all the doubts and discouragements and frustrations just disappear. No, it's just that Jesus gives you strength in those moments. He gives you wisdom to seek out counsel of others that are ahead of you in the journey. And he gives you love. Love that truly does conquer all sin and all evil. So grateful. So Paul shared his failures. He said, look, I used to blaspheme the name of Christ in my insolence. I persecuted his people. But God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and disbelief. Had a young man that was walking with the Lord. Man, he was passionate for God. He went on a mission trip for God. And he was dedicating a couple of years of his life to the work of God. And while he was over there, he lost focus. And he sinned in a way that removed him from leadership. And he had to return home. And we walked with him through that journey. It was heartbreaking for him. And in the end, when he got through, about a year later, we were talking about it, and he just said, you know what? He said, I just realized how much more of a trophy of God's grace I can be now that I realize that I need him all the more. Now, you could take that sin and you could justify it and say, you know what? It's just who I am. No, that's not true. God gives you power to overcome all sin, but it doesn't mean you won't have to fight. Doesn't mean you won't have to work. Doesn't mean you won't need his strength and his victory in your life. But never, never, never give up. Never. Well, the third thing, as you share this love and victory part of your testimony, look at verse 14 through 17, what Paul says there. He says, oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and love that come from Christ Jesus. This is the trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. Wow. When was the last time you told somebody that you know of the victories that God's done in your life, of his generosity and his grace and his mercy? When was the last time you sat down with maybe your siblings, maybe even went to one of our life groups and began to openly share what Christ has done? This last Sunday night, I kind of experimented with our group and I asked for volunteers, anybody that wanted to share how Christ had rescued them from their past. And in that room, we had somebody that had come to know Christ at the age of 10 and grew up in church. We had somebody that came to know Christ in prison and was baptized in a horse trough in prison, and now they're walking with Christ. We had somebody who in their teenage years got a job, and his co-workers who were other teenagers began to talk to him about Jesus Christ, and then they finally encouraged him to read his Bible. He said he had to go to his house, said he couldn't find a Bible in his house. His family didn't have a Bible that he could find, but he remembered they had one at one time. He said he had to climb up in the attic and go through some boxes of old books, and he finally found a Bible, and he began to read it, and as he read it, it just came alive to him, and that week he went to church, and he gave his life to Christ. Cool stories. Why don't we tell each other our stories more often? I know we're not ashamed, but I think we're just too silent. I think we need to just be one of the first things. When I started walking with the Lord and deciding that I wanted to marry a godly woman, the first thing I started doing on the dates that I would go on is I'd say, hey, I'd like to share with you my story of how I became a Christian. Can I do that? And if I did that and it was really awkward and they're like, okay, that was weird, then I pretty much knew that that's probably going to be a bad choice for me for the rest of my life, because I'm going to do it a lot of times. But if I shared it and they're like, oh, can I tell you mine? I was like, hey, this could go well. And I have to tell you, if you hadn't met my wife, man, when I met her, she was all about it. She already had a call to ministry and she loved the Lord. And it was like the Lord began to knit our souls together even before anything else. And I would just say to you, if you'll share your stories of love and victory, it won't just change other people's lives who hear it. It'll begin to refresh yours as well. In your program, there's a help sheet. Go ahead and pull that out. We're going to take a minute on this, so go ahead and pull it out. You got a pen? Okay. This is a simple little worksheet to help you with this, so that you can do as Paul was saying, tell your story. Okay? Now, the first one should be up on the screen, yeah. First thing is life before Jesus. What my life was like growing up. When you talk to people like to get to know you, right? So I always start with my life growing up, and I tell people, listen, I grew up in a family that loved me. My dad loved me. My mom loved me. But they were not followers of Christ. So I didn't grow up going to church. And then second, what kind of decisions was I making? Well, I was making selfish decisions. Because I didn't have an understanding of God, I was living for myself and living for what I thought I wanted in life. What I was learning from people around me. Well, what I was learning from some people was the wrong things. But then I had two or three friends that kept telling me their story about Jesus and kept inviting me to church, kept inviting me to hear their story about how God was doing good things in their life and to go to church in the youth group with them. And then second thing, accepting Jesus as Savior and Lord. Who modeled Jesus for me? Those two friends of mine I told you about, they modeled it for me. The guy two doors down, he was a police officer, invited me to go to church. I said, yes, sir. And I went. Well, my parents called him Fuzz, but that was his nickname. And he and his wife would pick us up in the back of an old maroon Catalina. Y'all remember the Pontiac Catalina? They're about the size of a yacht, you know? And so he would come by and pick me up, and he modeled for me taking people to church. And then how was I introduced to Jesus? Well, the first time I heard about Jesus, the neighbor across the street invited me to Vacation Bible School, and I went. That was the first time. And then my friends took me to church. My neighbors took me to church. It took a whole lot of people to get me saved, okay? I'm just saying. There are a lot of folks that kept reaching out and not giving up. And then when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I was about 17. Kerry O'Connell invited me to go to revival. It was Pack the Pew Night. I didn't know what that was, but Kerry was responsible for what they call packing a pew. He was supposed to bring six friends with him, and I showed up to Pack the Pew Night, and Kerry didn't. But it started too late. I couldn't leave, so I stayed, and praise God I did, because that night, the Lord kind of just sharing what I'm sharing here. Somebody shared their story. Gave an invitation for people to become a Christian. And that day I said, yes. I said, yes. I said, yes, I want to follow Jesus. And then life after accepting Jesus. I think this is just as much an important part of your story, okay? Life after accepting Jesus. How my situation in life began to change after accepting Jesus. For me, it went from selfishness to unselfishness. God had to root out so much selfishness in my life because I thought the world should revolve around me, right? I know that's a surprise, but I really did. And then what spiritual disciplines have I added to my life? You know, I love to tell people that reading the Bible each day, praying each day, it shapes who I am. It gives me wisdom to walk through each and every situation I'm in. It gives me hope. And so as you write these down, I want you to take this, I want you to take this home and write it down, okay? And then what God is doing in my life today. What is the Lord doing in your life today? Are you doing the daily devotionals with us? Man, that's a great thing to share with people, right? I've been doing the daily devotionals, and the one Meredith Vaughn did this last week just jumped out to me. She talked about spiritual markers in her life and her family's life and how she went overseas that you know, it was kind of a dry season for a while, and God put it in her heart to start writing down all the spiritual markers, the miracles, and the good things he had done. And she pulled her family around, and they made a little stone monument, and they made it something they would do every year in their life. And when I read that, I told my wife, I said, we need to do that. We need to do that. That's a neat idea to remember and to testify to all that God has done. So we're going to start that process. She's already got the little journal thing going, and I think my job will be to try to remember to put my stuff down, right? God continues to work. He continues to answer prayer. And the last thing, what I believe God is leading me towards. And this may be most effective for those who, maybe you work alongside believers in Christ, and maybe for you, what you need to do is be encouraging and edifying each other in their journey. Maybe there's somebody there that they just need to hear that, man, this last Sunday, I heard about these spiritual markers. I'm going to start doing that. You ought to consider that. Maybe they just need that encouragement. Maybe they're in a dry spell. And so this is a big part of your assignment this week, is I want you to fill it out. And then the last point number four, is be bold. Be bold. People are hurting everywhere. They need to hear good news. We got all kinds of stuff on Facebook, all kinds of stuff on Fox and CNN, and so much of it is negative. Debbie Downer, right? Sorry if your name's Debbie. I don't know why they gave you that name, but I mean, why they say Debbie Downer. That's like cruel. Could be Donald Downer, right? Dougie Downer. I don't know. Anyway, there's so much out there to try to discourage us. And what the world needs is the world needs to hear hope. It needs to hear good news. So today, okay, you'll forget this and throw this away if you don't do it today. Today, my challenge is whoever you're going out to lunch with, for you to share this with each other. I would bet that there's a lot of parents in here that you've told your kids you're followers of Christ, but you probably haven't gone through and told them the whole story. They'll remember that conversation the rest of their life. I bet there's a lot of siblings in here that you have a brother or sister that you've known a long time. Matter of fact, you may leave here and go hang out with their family this afternoon, but you may have never told them how Christ has changed your life. Had a young man in our small group, my men's small group. We were talking about what Christ had done in our life, and I challenged him. I said, man, I want to challenge you to share that with your family and have you. And he's like, well, it's kind of hard to tell your brothers and family. And I said, well, you need to go tell them. He called me up this week. He's like, hey, I just want you to know I've been praying and praying and praying for my brother, and he asked me what's going on in my life. So I just got a chance to tell him, and I told him what God's been doing and how the Lord's changed my life. I said, well, what happened? He said, I don't know. He said, I don't know that anything happened. I said, oh, yeah, I did. I said, he may not have said anything to you, but he'll be thinking of that. That's going to be fresh on his mind. I said, way to go. Way to be bold. Paul here in 16 and 17 says, but God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. All honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen. Paul basically said, listen, if I can get saved, anybody can get saved. Amen. I've had people say to me, they say, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but you don't understand. You don't know who I am. My life, man, there's so much bad stuff I've done, so much stuff I did in my past. I did stuff in the war that was this. I've done this in my past to other people. I've been through this many broken marriages. And I just ask them, I said, how many Christians have you killed? They look at me kind of funny. They're like, what do you mean? I said, well, how many Christians have you like killed and thrown in jail for being Christians? So like, well, I haven't killed anybody. I said, well, you realize half the New Testament almost was written by a man that killed Christians, put them in jail, did evil things, but God redeemed his soul. And Paul even says here, he did that then others will realize too that they can believe in him and receive eternal life. Some people that are around you at work, they think your life is so perfect that they can't even relate when you talk to them. They think that they're so far away from God that they could never come back to God. They need to hear the story of your redemption. They need to realize it takes just as much of the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ to rescue you as it would them. They need to realize that Paul, I mean, think about it. If I was going to start my own religion, I would not pick the guy that hated me and tried to kill people for following me to write half of my New Testament to give people hope. I would go, no, man, you are disqualified. And yet God in his brilliance and his mercy chooses the man that many of the apostles didn't even want to meet him because they thought it was a trick. God chose that man to write almost half the New Testament. That is a testimony of the love and the grace and the mercy of God. Well, as you look at going big, as you look at being bold, I want to challenge you to find a way to share your story with people all around you. That video of the haircut reminded me when I was in high school and then college. I got saved in high school, then I went off to college, came here for tech for college, and afterwards I went for a 7-month period to be a youth pastor in Germany. I was a pastor at a German Baptist church that had an English language congregation as well. Most of them were people that were in the military and their kids. And when I got there, they had like 6 kids coming to the Bible study on Wednesday nights, and I was supposed to be there for 7 months. They're like, we want you to reach these kids for Jesus. They're friends. I was like, okay, where can I meet them? They said, well, that's the problem. They said, because you're a civilian, you can't get on the military base, and so you've got to find a way, you know, through their friendships or whatever you can do to get on the base. And I prayed and I prayed and I was like, Lord, I know you want these young people to come to know you. And I'm praying and I'm praying. And I heard through somebody else that they were looking for substitute teachers at the high school. I thought I could get on the high school by being a substitute teacher. So I went and I applied and they said, oh, we are desperate. We need substitute teachers in the worst way. There's not a whole lot of Americans over here, obviously, except the military. So if you'd like to do that, we'd like to have you. I said, well, I'm a youth pastor. I said, so I just need to be up front. I said, what am I allowed to say or not say? I don't want to, you know, break any rules. He said, well, you can't bring up Jesus or religion at all in the classes. I said, okay. I said, well, what if they ask me a question about it? He said, well, if anybody asks you a question, you always have the freedom to answer a question that they may ask you. That's free game. I said, really? I said, okay. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, so I just got to get them to ask me a question about Jesus. How do you do that? You know? So I started thinking about it. I thought, oh, I know. Every time you meet a substitute teacher, what do? The first couple minutes, they go up and write their name on the board, right? I'm Steve Taboo. I'm your substitute today. So I thought, what if I shave a cross in the back of my head? And I thought, every time I go to write my name on the board, they'll see this cross in the back of my head. And I bet they'll ask. And sure enough, every class I'd go up and write my name on the board and they'd see the cross in the back of my head and they'd say, what is that in the back of your head? And of course I'd say, funny you should ask that question. And I'd share my testimony in about 3.5 minutes. Say, let me tell you, Jesus Christ saved my soul when I was 17. I'd go through a little 3-minute spiel and then this one kid said one time, he said, you can't talk about Jesus in this class. I said, I'm just asking your question. Why did you ask me? And he's like, I don't know. I said, well, hey, if you want to know more, you got to ask me after school because I can't say anything else. The Lord did a neat work. We went from 6 kids to over 43 kids. Had like 25 kids get saved in 6 months. I mean, it was crazy. God was moving. And so I thought, you know what, why not just shave it in the back of my head again? Who knows what will happen in the next 4 weeks, you know? I've had a lot of relationships in town that they may know where I'm at, but you know what? Maybe this will give me one more chance the next 4 or 5 weeks to spark a conversation and tell them why I got a cross shaved in the back of my head. Now, I'll tell them this story, and then I'll tell them my testimony. Well, for you, maybe it's not a cross shaved in the back of my head. I haven't had any ladies volunteer, by the way. Matter of fact, I think if a bunch of men started doing it, they really would accuse us of being a cult over here. Oh, you're the cult of the shaved head, I see. You know? So, of course, with my staff, half of them couldn't do it. They'd have to, they're all half bald, so they'd have to, maybe leave a cross of hair in the back, right? Ain't right. All right. 1 Peter 3:15 says this. Says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And then this last part, I really want you to hear this. But do this with gentleness and respect. Okay? With gentleness and respect. Whenever we share Christ, it should never come from a, you need this, you should do change, you should get this. It should always come from an attitude of gentleness and respect. Can I share with you something amazing that Jesus has done for me? I believe if you will discover the same thing, Jesus will do something amazing in your life as well. Gentleness and respect. Not strong-handed, not fisted, not Bible waving, punching, screaming, humble. Humble because we all are like folks in the desert looking for that fresh glass of water, right? And Jesus Christ wants to give us living water that will change everything about us. Well, I'm going to ask you if you would, if you're a believer in Christ, I really want to challenge you. I'm going to go home today with my kids, and I'm going to walk through this. Tonight in my life group, I'm going to invite people in my life group to share their story. I want to just challenge you to share your story, okay? For those that, man, you're very private, very introverted, we've got an option for you too. After the service, Luke Ramey's going to be over here in the corner over here. He's going to have a clipboard. There's a picture of Luke on the screen so you know who to look for. And he's wanting to sign people up to shoot their testimony. And our idea is, if you'll come and schedule a time, you don't have to shoot it today. If you'll schedule a time to tell your story, he'll help put it together on video, and then you can use it. You can use it on Facebook. You can use it to put out there. And just think, if you share that on Facebook or whatever social media you use, how many people, maybe for the first time, maybe your parents don't even know your story. How many for the first time may see that? And be able to ask you a question. Say, hey, you know what? In your story, you shared that you went through a divorce and how God walked with you and gave you hope and how he gave you strength. I'm going through a divorce. Can you tell me how that works? Hey, in your testimony, you shared that you're addicted to drugs. And man, I never would have thought that. You seem like your life is so together. Nobody knows this, but I'm struggling with that right now. How did you get victory? In your story, you shared about how you didn't grow up in church and how Jesus rescued you through a friend. And man, I've got a friend and I know he doesn't know Jesus and I don't know what to say. Can you tell me what you said? Can you see how many conversations that'll open up? We're going to make that available if you be willing to do that. He'll be over there after the service to sign you up. And then I'm going to ask you to bow your head with me. I believe in this room, there may be 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 people that when I went through that little testimony and I came to the point where I talked about receiving Christ as Lord and Savior, you didn't have an answer. Maybe you come because you love your husband or your wife or your neighbor or your sister, or your mom, your dad. Maybe you would even say that, yeah, I believe in God. I believe that he's real and But you still haven't crossed that line of giving your heart over to Him. I would just say to you, what are you waiting for? It's not easy, but it's wonderful. He's not safe, but He's strong. His love is available. If God is speaking to your heart today and saying, today is your day to be able to follow through and write that you'd given your life to Christ, and this is your day, then I invite you to pray this prayer. It doesn't mean a thing if you're not sincere. But if you are, I invite you to pray this prayer to the Lord and to yourself, following after me now. Dear God, today I want your love. Today I confess that Jesus Christ is my Savior and my King. Please forgive me for my sins and my past. Today, I want you to be my Father, and I will be your child. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.